Thank you, Brother John, Miss Brenda. Sure appreciate you guys. Appreciate everybody here at New Hope Baptist Church tonight. We're going to be in the last section of Proverbs chapter 17. And tonight we're going to look at verses 22 through 28. I hope you have your Bible. This is a great verse. It's a verse that I prescribe as pastor to all church members. It is a verse that I think we need to carry with us wherever we go. Solomon says to young Rehoboam, he says, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit, it dries the bones." So let's talk about that for a second. A merry heart, the word means cheerful, it means happy. It means somebody that is in a good mood, somebody that is joyful, somebody that is happy about the things in life. I don't know about you, but I don't do well around Debbie Downers. I don't do well around negative Nancys. I don't do well around people that are constantly complaining, constantly finding something wrong, constantly trying to pick apart. It's just troublesome for me. Because see, as believers, we have a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We have a countenance about us that wherever we go and that whatever we do, there should be a light that shines. Every time that we go to work, what kind of influence are we bringing to our job? Every time we go to the town, what kind of influence are we giving for that namesake? Every time we come into the church, do people see us and go the other way? Or do people gravitate to you because you have that dynamic heart that is merry? That merry heart does good. I like being around people that have a merry heart. Amen. And so when you think about this cheerful, happy heart, somebody said laughter is the best medicine. Guys, it is good to laugh. It is good to be around people. You enjoy their fellowship. It is good to cut up and have a good time. It is good to enjoy one another's company. Those things are good, and a merry heart does good. And I like what Solomon uses there. He uses a word that's only used one time in the Bible, like medicine. It means this. It means that a happy heart gives you, gives me, a full recovery. Isn't that something? Gives you a full recovery. So whatever you're going through in life, and we all go through things in life, the bad, the good, the ugly, whatever it looks like, that this merry heart, this cheerful heart, this happy heart does good, it brings you to full recovery. Even when I tested positive for COVID, there was things that you could laugh about, right? Even when you're going through the trials of life, going down in the valley, there's things that you can still find humorous, and you can still find to be cheerful, and things that you can still find to be happy about. I think when we truly step back and count our blessings, we are a blessed people. And so I think about that sometimes. I've got a little guy in my ag class. He's what I would call the teacher's pet. He always wants to do everything for me. And we've been doing our presentations on cattle breeds, and he had his little phone up there shining his light because I can't see running the deal. And he says, "Mr. Mize, do you want me to put in the grades for you?" "No, I've got this." "Mr. Mize, do you want me to go back here and get your grade book so we can mark down the schematics of the presentation?" "No, I've got it." And I finally just had to tell him, I said, "You get over there and sit down and I'll take care of it." You know, you get frustrated, right? And I love this little guy. He comes to see me every day, comes on break, comes to say I'm working hard, and he's still right there in my ear. You know, I love him. I do. I love him. Good kid. But in the midst of this, sometimes, you know, on a Thursday, on any job, you're ready for Friday, amen? And on Thursday, they're up there giving these presentations, and he's up here in my ear and all this, and I finally had to tell him, "Hey, go over here and sit down with me." And the kids get up there, and they start giving these presentations, and he just did a marvelous job, this kid did, and the other kids are up there giving their presentation, and after every slide, they'd say a fact about a Holstein heifer, and he'd be right there in the front desk, and he'd go, "Wow, I didn't know that, Mr. Mize, did you? And I finally just turned around and looked at the rest of the class and started laughing. Like, you know, what could you do? Just to laugh, or otherwise you want to cry, amen? You just need to have a merry heart. It does you good. It's like medicine, Solomon says. Solomon says it makes you have a recovery. Some of my buddies will send me a text, and I may be going through the dumps of the day, and I'll look at my phone and see that text, and all I can do is just smile and laugh. It's good to have a merry heart, guys. Because listen, when you have a broken spirit, Solomon says it dries the bones. A broken spirit in the Hebrew means somebody that is depressed, discouraged, somebody that is beat down. And guys, we all got reasons to be beat down. All of us do. But you know what? When you have this type of broken spirit, and I'm not trying to preach a Joe Osteen message tonight, but I'm telling you this. If you allow your attitude to be broken, then your physical health is going to suffer for it. And that's what he's saying there. When you have a discouraged, defeated, depressed spirit, your bones are going to dry up. The bones in the Hebrew mean your framework. It means your actual body, the way that you're knitted, the way that you're formed, the way that you're made. People that have a negative outlook on life will have health effects that will affect them negatively. And so I want to encourage you today. You don't have to listen to Joe Osteen to have a positive message. All you got to do is read the Word of God. And when you see some of the verses in there that incite your soul, some of the verses in there that encourage your hearts, man, all you can do as a Christian is to have a merry heart. It does you good. You remember those old commercials when I was a kid in the 80s? Milk does a body good. Well, a merry heart does a body good. It's like medicine. It recovers you, church. But a broken spirit, it dries the bone. Solomon says in verse 23, he says that a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. Now, I'm going to try not to get political here. A wicked man, this is somebody that is corrupt. The Hebrew means they are corrupt with absolutely no integrity. No integrity. They will sell their soul to the devil, or China for that matter of fact. And as they do that, these people that are corrupt with no integrity, they take a bribe, which is an illegal, unjust payment, to get around laws, rules, and procedures. They will take that bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice, because justice means nothing to them. There are people that are on our TV screen that are telling us things that I don't trust as far as I can throw them. As my dad would say, I wouldn't vote for them for dog catcher. There are people on our TV screens telling us lie after lie after lie. And I watched an illuminating video on, I'm just going to say it, Dr. Anthony Fauci. And it's this illuminating video when he comes out and tells me to do this, do this, do this, do this, 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 and this, and this. I would not trust him as far as I could throw him. And so when I look at this verse right here, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. If you've never done your research on him, I would listen to what Mr. Kennedy has researched in the book that he has written on him. I would listen to Dr. Malone and what he knows about him. I would listen to some of these folks that have really worked with him and seen what he's done. And then ask yourself when he comes on the TV screen. I don't care if he looks like a family member. I don't care if he looks like somebody that you would trust. You need to research these people that are peddling lies, because they have accepted bribes from people a long time ago to pervert justice in 2022. And I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't tell you the truth tonight about that. I know people get mad over this, but oh well. There are people out there that we have trusted. people out there that we have voted for, people out there that we see come on TV day in and day out that we say, yes, they're absolutely correct. But when you research it over and over and over again, what do you see? You see the money trail. You see the vaccinations. You see the big pharma. You see everything that is coming down our way. You see wicked men that have accepted bribes behind the back. Why? So that they can pervert justice. They do not want to see justice served. Why? They want to be able to retire with a big bank account so it'll set them up for the rest of their life. Do they care about you and me? Absolutely not. So there's a way right now that you and I, what did we used to do? We were always brought up to be told what? Trust the system. I don't trust the system anymore. I don't trust this system. I don't trust the ones that run this system. I trust the system of God's kingdom. That's the system I trust. Because when you have men that accept bribes behind the back to pervert the ways of justice, you get a country like what we got today. Solomon was pretty clear in his word, wasn't he? There's no fairness. There's no righteousness. There's people that are corrupt with no integrity that have sold their souls to the devil so that they can pad their almighty bank account. You can listen to an uneducated preacher like me, or you can keep listening to men like them. We'll leave it at that. Verse 24. Wisdom is the sight of him who has understanding. I love that. Wisdom is the sight of him who has understanding. People who have wisdom, they do three things. Number one, they think clearer. People that have wisdom, they have understanding, they think clearer. Their judgments are not clouded because they're thinking clearer. The second thing that they do is this. They see the big picture, not the tiny, minute details. And people with wisdom who have understanding not only do that, but they look at the intended outcome. My prayer is that you who have wisdom tonight, we look at the intended outcome. We don't look at the minute details to say this or that or this or that and criticize every little thing, but we're looking at the big picture. When you don't have a plan for the future, you can pretty much say that you're going to have a plan that's going to fail. When you need a plan that has wisdom because it gives you the sight of him who has understanding, it gives people clear thoughts, it gives people a big picture overview, and it gives people an outcome of where we're going in this. Think about that. But look at the fool. The eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. This is what a fool does. You've probably been in meetings with a fool. They're rabbit chasers. Like I was this morning, right? Chasing rabbits down a trail. And the agenda says, no, we're on number one. This is the focus that we're on. But they chase this rabbit way over here and get people off on that rabbit trail. And then their focus goes way over here. They're like a squirrel. They're just constantly going from place to place to place, looking all over the place and not focusing on the agenda at hand. Solomon says the eyes of a fool are on all the ends of the earth. It simply means this: they look from one thing to another. They're scattered all over the place, and their thoughts are never coherent because their thoughts are always scattered because they've got so many irons in the fire that they're always not focusing on the agenda at hand, but focusing on all the things that are outer there. My prayer tonight is that we zero in. I didn't come here tonight at New Hope Baptist Church to get some man-made outreach program developed to go out to the community knocking on doors. I came here from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock to worship Almighty God. I came here to sing praises to Him. I came here to pray corporately with Him. I came here to fellowship with believers tonight with Him. I came here to study His Word with Him. But what does the fool do? Let's think of all the other things we can do at church instead of focusing on the reason we're here. And that's what the fool does. They scatter their eyes everywhere. And they focus on everything else. The commode. They focus on the light that's out. They focus on all these crazy things that don't amount to a hill of beans, instead of focusing on from 6 to 7 o'clock. This hour is fenced to where we come to this house to what? To praise the Lord. I hope and pray you understand that. Verse 25. We talked about this last week, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this verse because we really exposited it last week. But a foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. A foolish son is grief. That word grief in the Hebrew means their sorrow. They are an irritation to their father. And Solomon says their bitterness to her who bore him. There is a special pain of bitterness from a mother to a child who's gone astray. I look back at the times that I disappointed my mom and dad, and I wish I could go back and change that. Because I know that I was grief. I know that I was irritation to my dad. And I know that I was bitterness to my mom. And if I could go back and change those things, I would. Some of you in here tonight know what I'm talking about. You've lived in a rebellious lifestyle. You did things that displeased your mom and dad. And you wish you could go back and change those things. But we can't go back and change those things. What can we do? We can do what the Lord has given with us today. Today is the gift that He's given us. What are we doing with it today? A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. All of us want to be proud of our kids. And I pray tonight that you can look at your kids and say, I'm proud of them. Thank you, Lord, for giving them to me. Verse 26, also, to punish the righteous is not good, nor to strike princes for their uprightness. You don't ever punish somebody for doing good. If you do that, you've lost complete trust with that person. And in Solomon's case, if he was a king that punished good people, he's lost all credibility with his people in the kingdom of Judah. So I want you to think about this tonight. When we have leaders in charge, leaders on your job, that punish the good, they lose all credibility. Can I get amen? When you have pastors in a church that punish the good, they lose all credibility. Amen. When you have parents that punish the good, they lose all credibility with their children. When you have a coach, I always hated this. Well, the team's going to do skyrockets today. When one kid's over there jacking around, you've lost all credibility with your team. You don't go in with a shotgun and use a shotgun on your team. You get a rifle and you zero in who you're going for, and that's how you do it. When you punish the righteous, it is not good. When you punish good people, when you punish people that are doing the right thing, Solomon says it is not good. We can take it a step higher in our society. And in our society, what do we see? We see people in our society right now in America that are being punished for doing good. They have something on their car and on their badge that says to protect and serve. And they've had an onslaught of murder, an onslaught of attacks, when all they're doing is trying to protect and serve the community, our police officers. We need to lift them up in prayer tonight. People that are punishing the righteous, it's not good. Solomon says, nor to strike princes for their uprightness. See, back in Solomon's day, if you were a prince or you were somebody of royalty, you were somebody of righteousness. Now today, that's not the case. Sometimes we want to strike them, amen? But he says, nor to strike princes for their uprightness. That you would never go around and strike a prince because they are somebody that is to be rewarded. They're somebody to be honored. They're not somebody to be struck. Solomon is saying that it's not right. My prayer today is that we're not a people that punishes the righteous, but we are a people that calls sin, sin, and right, right. Look at verse 27. He who has knowledge spares his words. Boy, I love this. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Boy, this is good stuff. Y'all probably been on committees. You probably been in groups. You probably been on the job or in church, or you've been assigned to a committee in the community, and you got people that are, they love to hear themselves talk. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They love to always give their opinion. They love to give their ideas. They love to just bombard you by being that person that's a fool looking at all the ends of the earth rather than focusing on the idea. Can I get a witness tonight? He who has knowledge spares his words. There's a man that I have just admired my whole life. I had him as a teacher. I got to hire him to come to Alba Golden. I get to watch him now on Mineola School Board. That Glenn Dossett is somebody who has knowledge. He spares his words. When Glenn Dossett speaks, people listen. Because Glenn Dossett's not out there running his mouth. A man of understanding is of a calm spirit. You ever been around people like that? There is something tense in the room, and they bring a calm spirit to it. There's about to be combustible egos about to explode, and dynamite is about to hit the fan. And that calm spirit comes in the room and calms everything down. You know people like that? He who has knowledge spares his words. I tell kids all the time, you have two ears the Lord gave you and one mouth. It's better to listen than it is to speak. They don't get that quietly. Yeah. This calm spirit is a man of understanding. He's calm, he's cool, he's collected. Nothing rattles him. Nothing rattles him. He's always the same. Always the same. A fool, on the other hand, what gets to them? You watch a fool and they get agitated. You watch a fool and they get upset. You watch a fool and they lose their temper. My sweet aunt, who's probably watching tonight, was talking to me through text about some situations in life. And she was sharing some situations with me. And she quoted a proverb, not written by Solomon, but written by his daddy, my granddaddy, Paul Mize. I can't say it from the pulpit tonight, but it was a very wise proverb. And in that proverb, it has a lot to do with this. He who has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is a calm spirit. Jerry Bruce Mize's daddy, Paul, was that calm, influencing spirit on our family. He was rock steady. You need rock steady people in your life that don't ever get shaken, they don't ever get stirred, they don't ever get rattled, that when things are about to go down, they are always in control, and they're always calm, and they're always cool, and they're always collective. I love having people like that in my life. Can I get an amen? Because when you go to those people that just get riled up, oh, and they get so excited, and the whole sky's falling, or they want to go take on the world and fight everybody, and they just rule by emotion, our emotions are deceitful. The heart is deceitful. But praise God, when you're a person of knowledge and you're a person of understanding, not because of who you are or what you've gained at a college or a school, but because of who your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete, and the Holy Spirit comforts our souls and comforts our hearts. So that when trying times come, give me a witness, the anchor holds. I'm thankful for that tonight. Verse 28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. Right? The Hebrew word for fool is ewil. It means somebody that is hardened and argumentative. You know people like that. They're hardened and they're argumentative. They're always looking for a fight. They're always looking for an argument. They're always looking for a debate. They're like the disciples this morning. They're always looking for a dispute or an argument among one another. This fool is somebody that is hardened and somebody that is arrogant, that is always looking for this fight. Solomon says they're even counted wise when they hold their peace. When a fool doesn't talk, he's considered wise. Boy, there's a lot of times Cody's put me on this advisory council for the board at Mineola ISD, and they're about to do a big bond. In Mineola community that are taxpayers, listen to me, it's well needed. Well needed. He and that school board have done a fine job drafting out what needs to be drafted out for the kids at Mineola ISD. It is outstanding. But in these meetings, you've got all these experts that stand up and speak. And I don't even know why I'm on that committee. So in a lot of those times that we meet, old Michael, that fool, I want to be counted wise because I just sit back there and hold my peace. Can I get a witness tonight? Right? When he shuts his lips, and I know you're ready for that. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. When he shuts his lips, somebody said, just shut up and listen. Yeah. He is considered perceptive. That means that he's considered to be wise about the people that are surrounding him. I think about this tonight. Abraham Lincoln, one of our greatest presidents, says that it is better to keep your mouth shut and let them think you a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I think about us tonight as Christians. And I think about what we're commanded to do, church. James gives us three instructions that I want to share with you before we leave tonight, or before we go into business meeting. How appropriate, amen. Number one, James says, let every man be swift to hear. Dr. David Jeremiah says that we all ought to have better hearing than we do speaking. We ought to concentrate on what people's trying to tell us. Have you ever sat in a conversation before and you were so mad or you were so riled up that they've tried to talk to you but you didn't hear a word they said? Or you're trying to win an argument because your blood pressure's up and your heart rate's elevated and you're trying to win this argument so you don't listen to anybody and what they're saying, but you're sitting there just shaking your head going, I hear you, and you're not hearing a word. Right? We've all been there. James says for us as Christians that we're to be swift to hear. Just listen when people talk. The second thing that he says is this. He says that we're to be slow to speak. What does that mean? Dr. Jeremiah says that it means that we need to control our tongue. There's a lot of times I've wanted to say something. And what does your grandma teach you when you're a little kid? Bite your tongue. Right? Control your tongue. Control your tongue. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. And then last but not least, James tells us through his word under the Holy Spirit, he tells Christians that we're to be slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. Why? Because he says in verse 20 that man's wrath could never produce the righteousness of God. That's what he says. So what does that mean? It means that we control our anger. Guys, there's a lot of things I'm passionate about. A lot of things I get mad about. But sometimes it's best to just shut up, sit down, listen, pray, talk, enjoy, have a merry heart. Why? Because it's like a good medicine. Think about those things tonight. And my prayer is that these Proverbs not only help you in your spiritual walk with Christ, but they make you feel better when you walk out these doors. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, your word is truth. And every one of us in here that have gone through life and gone through experiences and gone through trials and gone through tribulations and gone through the great things that you have given us, the great gifts that you have given us that comes from you above. Lord, all the good gifts you say in the book of James, all the good gifts comes from above. Lord, then when we've experienced that, Lord, we know. We know that your word is true. Every bit of it is true. And my prayer is tonight that if there's people here that are struggling with their mouth, people here struggling with their anger, people struggling here tonight to not even hear. He that has an ear, let him hear the word of God. Lord, I ask you to be with us as we go through our business meeting tonight. I thank you for the unity that's here at New Hope Baptist Church. I pray for our hearts to be at one, not within ourselves, but our hearts to be at one with you. Lord, I pray that your will be done here at New Hope Baptist Church and your will alone. Lord, I pray that your kingdom is glorified. And Lord, I just want to thank you for blessing New Hope Baptist Church. There's so many churches tonight that need our prayers. So many churches tonight where man has become so selfish. So many churches tonight where the devil has gained a foothold. Lord, I pray that you always put a hedge of protection around New Hope Baptist Church. We love you, we praise you, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. To our guests tonight, thank you for being here. If you'd like to stay for the business meeting, you're more than welcome. If you'd like to go home, I totally understand too. We welcome you back Wednesday night, and we welcome you back Sunday morning and Sunday night next week as well. A lot of good things coming up these next couple of weeks.